Greetings, friends and Firebirds fans, and welcome to the Fire and Ice Podcast presented by Desert Willow Golf Resort. Fire and Ice, the official podcast of your Coachella Valley Firebirds of the American Hockey League. Coming to you from Palm Desert, California, a mere Ryan Winterton hair flip away from the Birds' home ice of Acrisure Arena. I'm your host, Judd Spicer, along with this bi-monthly endeavor. Also, again, have the privilege of writing articles for the team as your Firebirds insider. Those articles, along with all things center ice for your Coachella Valley Firebirds, can be found online at cvfirebirds.com. That's your home base for all things Firebirds, including, but certainly not limited to, team, schedule, ticket, merchandise information. Might I also suggest downloading that CV Firebirds app on your cellular phone. Per the presenting sponsor of this endeavor, yeah, Desert Willow Golf Resort, a mere 3.5 miles away from Acrisure Arena. Make it a great putt-to-puck day. Go tee up at either the Firecliff or Mountain View courses, respectively. They got 36 holes over at Desert Willow. Skated on over to a Birds game at Acrisure Arena. I love a good segue. Along with those two courses, Desert Willow, also home to the awesome and on-site Palm Desert Golf Academy. So if you're a snowbird, maybe you're having a little desert peak season visit, need a little instruction, need a little tutelage, you're going to get that as well at Desert Willow Golf Resort. Get those tee times and check out the Palm Desert Golf Academy online at desertwillow.com. One of the finest municipal facilities, not just here on the West Coast, I might add, but in the entire country. All right, friends, here at the All-Star Break, wrapping up the All-Star Break, joining me on this episode to help discuss the Birds season, past, present, and future, we got a media roundtable feature. Been a spell since we've done that on Fire and Ice. He is a news anchor, and he does some sports as well. He's also a sports guy, in addition to being the in-game host for the Firebirds at Acrisure Arena. Tim O'Brien revisits the Fire and Ice podcast. Per the roundtable, yeah, can't just have one-on-one for a roundtable. Andrew L. John, don't forget the L. Andrew L. John, longtime reporter in the sports section for the Desert Sun newspaper. He's been covering the Birds since even, well, like yours truly, before their inception here in our desert sand. He's making his debut on the Fire and Ice podcast, I should add. Andrew L. John, Tim O'Brien, joining me here shortly on this February 8th, 2024 edition of the Fire and Ice podcast. Before we get to the conversation with those gents, take a little step back for our Firebirds freeze frame feature. And yeah, friends, I think we can say that things are going decidedly well for the Birds. 44 games down, 28 games to go as we head into the post-All-Star break portion of the season. 26-12, 4-2 record puts the Birds in a virtual tie for first in the Pacific Division. Very competitive Pacific Division, I think I can add. And a virtual tie for Tucson. And yeah, I know that that last game before the break versus Tucson, ultimately a shootout loss, that left a bad taste in the mouth for some, if not many, but that's okay. That counted as the Birds' point in 8 consecutive games. 58 total points on the season, tied, yeah, with Tucson, for that be the 4th most points in the entire AHL. Well, we've got some old friends, by the way, that are ahead of us in those league standings. I'll digress, save to offer briefly, that the Hershey Bears, man, they're crushing it. 13 points more than anybody in the entire American Hockey League. And I guess this is our last two opponents from last season. Mentioned Hershey, Milwaukee, they're above us as well. Not by much, but they have 12 straight wins heading into the All-Star break. Be interested to see if the Admirals can continue that here in the post-All-Star game stretch. Per the schedule, yeah, All-Star break, just coming off a series of days off, counting on the calendar, according to my Minnesota math, 6 days off for the break, save for our All-Star representative, who again availed himself very well, Riker Evans, as he is wont to do. I believe that Pacific Division team, by the way, did win the AHL All-Star Challenge. Birds come back to Acrisure Arena. We are technically in the middle of a seven-game homestand, although those seven games are spread out between 19 days, as it were. Come back for Saturday, February 10th. That's a home game versus the Henderson Silver Knights. 6 p.m. puck drop. And then they get four more days off. Kind of weird. The AHL schedule can be kind of weird. The Birds had, as I've mentioned on this program several times, 19 games in a 36-day stretch. They had 15 games in January. And now just the one game coming out of the All-Star break. One game in 11 days. They get back to work against, he editorialized, lowly San Jose. That is a home game on Thursday, February 15th, 7 p.m. puck drop. Another day off before back-to-back games round out the homestand. Saturday, February 17th, 6 p.m. start time versus Colorado. Wrap it right around on Sunday, February 18th, 5 p.m. home game. That is against the Henderson Silver Knights. Couple days off after that, and then the Birds will hit the road. As far as the scorers go, well, dudes hitting the notebook are myriad. And many. That's what happens with an 8-game point streak. I think this is for the first time, maybe I'll say since the first episode of the season, that our captain, Max McCormick, has not led the way in Firebirds points. Fear not, Max fans. He is right behind team leader Cole Lind, now with 39 points on the season. That is good for 9th in the American Hockey League. Cole pairing 9 goals with a team-high 30 assists. Max McCormick, the aforementioned, right behind him. By a mere point, 38 on the season. He's tied for 10th in the AHL. A team best 19 goals. Very symmetrical, pairing that with 19 assists. Cameron Hughes, 36 points on the season to date. 12 goals and 24 assists. Shane Wright continues his exceptional AHL rookie season. 32 points, 18 goals. That's right behind McCormick. He's got 14 assists to go with that. And Potsy making the list. He's been on something of a heater late, definitely playing some fine hockey as alternate captain Andrew Podorolski. 30 points on the season, 10 goals, and 20 assists. Per our netminders, as mentioned in the most recent episode, almost mirror images statistically, Chris Drieger, 11-5-3 record between the pipes, a 2.40 goals against. That is good for 9th in the American Hockey League. Save percentage of .911. Alastezhka, again, very similar record on the year, 11-5-1. Goals against stands at 2.77 with the save percentage .905% on the year. All right, dudes, all those numbers, all that scheduling offered, let's get to this episode's media roundtable visits with our guys Tim O'Brien and Andrew L. John. All right, Firebirds Block, as prefaced, an All-Star break, or as we come out of the All-Star break, media roundtable episode of the Fire and Ice podcast presented by Desert Willow Golf Resort. Guest number one, an anchor at NBC, Palm Springs. Sometimes he shaves, sometimes he doesn't. Depends what day of the week it is. In-game host as well. You recognize him from shouting his lungs out at Acrisure Arena. But despite all that yelling, still good company and conversation for a post-game brew. Welcome Tim O'Brien to the Fire and Ice podcast. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Judd. Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
Good to have you, dude. From the Desert Sun, he's been reporting on the Firebirds since before that inaugural puck drop. My guy that we sit with in the media center, sometimes he calls Shane Wright Ryan. Maybe we'll find out why he likes to do that sometimes. Welcome, making his Fire and Ice debut, Andrew L. John from the Desert Sun. Hello, Andrew.
Oh, hey, glad to be here.
All right, boys, let's jump right into it. I think it was in about mid-January. Actually, I'm going to specify that it was January 17th. Did my mid-season report at cbfirebirds.com. That was through 35 games of the season. Now, 9 games later, it's been fleshed out a little bit more. I gave a grade for the Firebirds season to date, and I gave them an incomplete at that point of the year, basically by virtue of the fact of the chutes and ladders of so many guys coming and going. We've now steadied the ship a little bit, 44 games down, 28 to go.
I want to hear your grades to date, respectively, as we hit the home stretch and get out of the All-Star break. Tim, let's start with you. What's your grade on the Firebird sophomore season?
Yeah, I'll give him a B. I'll give him a real good B. I think I would have probably been along the lines with you, incomplete, just because of the ups and downs. But the last seven, eight, nine games, the team's found its groove a bit. I know head coach Dan Bylsma mentioned that the young guys are learning how to be pros. They're finding that groove and that rhythm. So it doesn't hurt that they're in first place either, even after some of the ups and downs. So they've really turned it around. I think they found their identity with this team, and onward and upward. I expect a really, really good and exciting second half.
Andrew, your grade through 44 Firebirds game in season number two.
I'll go B plus on this one. I think that you can't give them too low of a grade because they are in first place. But, you know, I think there is some room for criticism there. I think that they took some lumps throughout the season. We know that they were as low as sixth in the division to start the year. You know, so I think that there's still time to decide whether or not this recent run is the true identity of the team, or if maybe they slide back to what we saw earlier in the season. I think there's definitely room for that. But right now, first place, they're playing very well. I think right now, B plus, I'd probably be a little bullish on their prospects had this been 3 weeks ago. But as of right now, I think it's looking pretty good.
Yeah, I would agree with both of you, gents, on certain points. Obviously, an 8-game point streak heading into the All-Star break doesn't hurt none too much. But yeah, 3 weeks ago, again, I gave the incomplete grade. I'm going to agree with Andrew at this point on the B+. But let's face it, fellas, that after the first season and everything that was accomplished in that magical year, the expectations heading into season number two were somewhere between like the exosphere and the lunar surface. But even after all that, even after I think it's 11 guys that have shifted between the two rosters, here we are. We're in a virtual tie for first place. So I'm going to give a B+ as well, but hell, we're in first place. So we could at the same time give an A grade. I mean, I think that with those expectations, in large part, they're meeting them. Although, as Andrew referenced, especially what we've seen at home, they got the home record now back above 500, a 10-8-2-2. Still just, I think, like 17th as far as win percentage in the American Hockey League for what they've done at home. They've laid a few eggs at Acrisure Arena. Performance has been better of late, but there are a couple things that are concerning. I think there are a few things that we've discussed in our post games that worry us a little bit. Tim, I'll go back to you, man. What gives you a little concern despite being in first place? What gives you a little concern as we enter this 28 game stretch for the end of the season?
I think we were spoiled with Joey down the stretch last year. And I don't know that, and that's not to take away from Drieger or Steska. I just don't know that they have that same play in them. Could happen, right? There was a rotating goalie rotation last year with Joey and even Gibby and Drieger getting some play. So I don't know. That I would start there. Drieger has not been the sharpest since he's returned since Seattle. I don't know if that's lack of playing. He only played two games while he was with the Kraken, so I'm sure as a goalie, you play as many games and get as many minutes as possible. So, yeah, I think it starts with the goaltending, and I'd even say a little bit of cleaning up the excess fat in front. They don't have that big guy to get you out of the crease. So that's where I would start, but goaltending for sure.
Andrew, your thoughts, same question, man. What gives you a little bit concerned despite the fact that the Birds are tied for first place?
I think that, you know, what Tim said was right on the money with goaltending, but I will also add that I think just the inconsistency of some of the lineups that we've seen, not just at goalkeeper. There's so much talent on this team. It's so crazy, but sometimes it's the rookies that are bailing them out. Sometimes the veterans are taking over, but there's not like a one or two three, four, five consistent guys who are just like getting you points almost every game, and guys who you're really relying on, as the talent would indicate. Talent to me indicates there's guys who are showing up every night and just delivering. And as much talent as there is, there's still some inconsistency in a lot of the lines that we're seeing. And that, to me, I think is worrisome going into this second half stretch of the season.
Following up on a couple of great points that you boys made. Yeah, the back end, I think, is of some concern. Look, I mean, Joey Decord, not only was he the best player on our team last year, he was in very many ways, he embodied the spirit of all the magic and all the enthusiasm that he was very much the heart of the team. And there's only so many guys like that in professional hockey that can have an entire squad, an entire city truly rally around that one player. And look at him now. You know, he's a top 10 goalie in the NHL, obviously a very special player. We do have two very, very capable goalies. I'm of the opinion that Chris Drieger, once he gets his skates back a little bit, a little more repetition, we're going to see what we saw from him, not just at the start of this season, but also at the close of last season when he readily improved and he was down here. Of a little more concern to me, and I want to get your thoughts on this, defensively, look, Ryker Evans got called back up, as we knew he would, to Seattle. Got to come back down here to play, I think, three games while the Kraken were on break, and got to appear in the AHL All-Star game. So he's back up. Gustav Olofsson remains injured. And what we saw in that Tucson game, the shootout loss ultimately, playoff atmosphere and intensity in that game, playing for first place, granted still in February, they gave up a couple of easy goals, and there was not a ton of physicality in or around the crease. Put so much onus on guys like Jimmy Schelt. You know, these aren't guys that we might talk about every day. Pietro Seppola, I trust that we'll now see Mitch Rehnke get back into the lineup. Connor Carrick, going to have a little more physicality, I think, from the defensive side of the Birds. Keep those goal pursuers away from Drieger and Steshka. I don't know. Your thoughts on the back end defensive physicality or lack thereof? Tim, we'll go back to you, dude.
Yeah, I think the organization may have made the wrong call bringing Tennyson in as a broadcaster. And they need to put him back out on the ice. I know he's done. All kidding aside, I know that he said he was hanging him up. But, yeah, I think they're missing that kind of caliber guy. I mean, the guy would take one off the face last year and was back for the next shift. So not to say they don't have that now, but that physicality from him is something that really set the bar. Judd, I think I've said to you one of these games, just Jimmy Schultz, he just does everything right. He's so, you don't hear about him, you don't see his numbers, right? He's not in the box score, but he's so reliable back there. So if you can get maybe one or two more of him to emulate his play, I think that they can clean that up. But yeah, it would be nice to see a Matt Tennyson type to get out there.
Yeah, before I turn it to Andrew, obviously Matt Tennyson, he's now wearing a suit and tie, he's got a mic in his hand. Eddie Witko, he was our biggest player last year as far as physical stature. He was very effective and oftentimes paired with Jimmy Schultz. Minus those guys, and again, minus what they brought on the defensive side, some of that muscle, lack of it is a concern. I don't know. Andrew, your thoughts on that?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Ryker Evans, because Ryker was one of the – I noted this last season that he was one of the, like, top two or three like hitters on the team. He's the guy who would finish hits. I think that the Kraken are certainly valuing that. He has a wide array of skills, not just that, but yeah, you do miss a Ryker when he's with the Kraken. You miss Eddie, as you mentioned. You miss Tennyson, even though, you know, his career is over. He was the guy who you could rely on to be a force, physical force on the blue line. But the thing is you, with so much turnover, there's still a ton of talent there. But yeah, the physicality, I think you, as you mentioned, is definitely something that has been noticeably missing. And one thing that we saw with Decord, as great as he is as a goalie, he really had a lot of physical players around him. He wasn't doing that alone, and that's something that we've noticed even with with the goalies that they have now that are very talented, they have been put in vulnerable situations, even during this little nice little run that they've had. As you noted, you know, some of the goals that were scored the other night were against Tucson were just far too easy. Dan Biles,
way too
of course,
easy.
Mentioned that. Yeah. Yeah. And Dan even mentioned that. And so, yeah, that's certainly something that needs to be cleaned up. It's not just physical play. It's being in the right positions, of course. But these are all things that they'll need to clean up to help the goalkeepers as we get closer to the postseason.
One more thing worthy of potential concern, at least for me, special teams units. The power play has definitely improved over the course of the year. 18.8%, that is good for 12th in the American Hockey League. Penalty kill, however, and this might speak to some of those exact concerns that we just discussed, just 25th in the American Hockey League. It's a shade under 80%. That's something that is mindful of keeping an eye on as we get to these home stretch games. Got to improve a little bit more in the penalty kill. Folks, you're tuning in to the Fire and Ice podcast presented by Desert Willow Golf Resorts. My guests are Tim O'Brien, anchor at NBC in Palm Springs, an in-game arena host for the Firebirds at Acrisure Arena, and Andrew L. John, who reports on the Firebirds for the Desert Sun. Enough of the pejorative. Let's get on to the positive a little bit more. Obviously, along with these concerns, many, many reasons for optimism as we endeavor these final 28 games of the season. Tim, whether it's been something that has impressed, surprised you, something that you're really looking forward to seeing more of in these final 28 games, what or whom might that be for the Birds?
Yeah, Shane Wright. I think he's noticeably different from last year, right? He got bigger, stronger, faster. He can take over a game single-handedly. I mean, he does things on an edge 2 inches in front of the crease that I don't know many guys can do on their skates. It's unbelievable to watch him fly out there. He's been great, and I'm really, really enjoying Logan Morrison. Watching that kid play, and he's always smiling, which helps, right? We get to see a little behind the scenes of it too, but really, really become a fan of him. And as if they just kind of what Andrew mentioned back, if they put the pieces together, get a consistent lineup going, that offense could be scary.
Andrew, your thoughts, same question, man. Excited you, impressed you, something that you want to see more of as we get out of the All-Star break?
Yeah, you know, Tim mentioned Shane Wright, who has just been incredible. He seems like he's taken a huge step from he was just last season. You know, I think that it's not, of course, you know, it's not just Shane. It's Ryan Winterton and, you know, you mentioned Logan Morrison. There's a real strong group of rookies on this team. And I think that last year's group was so good, too, because they had Ty Cartier and Ryker Evans, two all-rookies and the rookie of the year. This year's group collectively is better, though, because it's deeper and there's more of them. And there's four or five, maybe six guys who are rookies who can all really play. And I think, you know, mentioning Logan and Shane and Ryan, specifically those three guys, it's a group that can come in and really make plays. And as I mentioned before, kind of bail the team out in the when necessary. It's kind of a rare thing. We had that last year with a few rookies who could make some big plays, but we're seeing again, that's one thing I really like. I like not just the development Shane has had, but just the fact that you have so many of these rookies who can come in and make plays when the veterans maybe have an off night or aren't quite, maybe the defense is focusing on the veterans, whatever it may be. So I just like the versatility of this group, you know. It's a deep team. We had that last year. It's a deep team again. A lot of young guys who are really stepping up and making a difference now for the Firebirds in the second half of the season.
Yeah, certainly the frontliners, our four lines, I haven't seen any other team that can compete with the depth, as Andrew said, nor the talent that the Firebirds are sporting. Don't want the general listeners to think that this has been rehearsed, but I have to agree with you guys. That's my top observation for something very sanguine, something very hopeful, something to definitely be enthusiastic about are the baby Birds, Are these four guys? I mean, Jacob Melanson has missed, I think, the last seven games, but it's extremely effective. Not a guy that I don't think is being asked or called upon to score a ton of goals like he did in Quebec Major Junior Hockey. I mean, he's got five on the year through 35 games, but somebody that plays very physical, very forechecking, effective with this forechecking. Guest on this program earlier this month, I guess, or at the end of January. I'm just really impressed with him as well. So those four guys have certainly done more, added just a little more complexity, I think, than what we may have expected for all four of them to play so well. Additionally, this gives me hope. There were a few soupy games, if not soupy weeks, from some of the veteran players to start the season. But now we see a lot of these guys coming on. Cole Lind now leads the team in points. Yeah, he's got a modest 9 goals on the year, but that's coupled with 30 assists. He's the team leader with 39 points. Andrew Podorolski, he stepped it up a bit more of late. He's now got 30 points of the year. To me, that gives me a lot of excitement, fellas, and seeing not just the progression of the rookies and these really young guys availing themselves well in the AHL, but how it's meshing with the experienced veterans, guys that obviously got to Game 7 of the Calder Cup Finals last year and have that experience, obviously still have that hunger. To me, the combination therein is very, very compelling, and I think bodes well. Your thoughts on that, on the meshing of what we've seen between the veteran birds and the baby birds? Tim, we'll start with you on that one. Sorry, man.
Yeah, no worries. I think we're spoiled, right? It's like almost falling into place again, where we've got the same situation as we did last year with the rookies coming up. And I don't know, not being in the locker room, I don't know how vocal Max is, but anytime you hear a soundbite or talk to any of these guys, they really, really lean in and try to follow his example. I think I don't know that there's a better captain for this team in the first or second season. I think, you know, the leadership of this group set the bar extremely high. So I think there was an expectation coming in from a lot of the guys. I don't know. Also, the AHL roster, I can't imagine many teams have 10, 11, 12 guys roll over like this team did. So I think they're in a perfect situation and just keep riding it while it's hot. I know that the leadership group is looked up to quite a bit here in this organization.
Andrew, your thoughts on that kind of tapestry between the young fellows and the veteran players?
Yeah, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a couple games ago when, you know, Podorolski had the two goals and it was on the same line where Max scored, and he had Cole Lind assisting on all three of those goals. And that was the line that we talked about, where Dan said he experimented with that veteran line early in the season. It didn't quite work. Brought it back. They really seem to be working now. And he said it might be the best line in the American Hockey League. And that's a pure veteran line. Then you look at John Hayden, who is really surging at the right time. There's other guys who we could mention, but you see the veterans playing at a time when, you know, we're of course really thrilled with how well the rookies are playing, but that doesn't mean the veterans aren't playing well at the same time. So I think the fact that they're all kind of coming together, maybe taking turns on who's taking the lead and who's scoring the big goals, it's cool to see. I mean, we would like to see a lot of consistency from the same players, but I think it's also a real benefit to the Firebirds that we just sometimes don't know who's gonna be the big player in those games or players. So I think that can keep other teams guessing as well, and shows the depth of this team and shows that there's really a lot more than just four or five really good players. And it's a real benefit to the team. I mean, go back to the two goalies. We have two solid goalies now. Also got some really good forwards and who can put together some really interesting lines, matching them up together and their strengths. It's really cool.
Talked about the players a lot. We probably haven't given quite enough credit to the entire coaching staff or the head coach Dan Bylsma for what he's done to have this team in first place, despite, again, all the chutes and ladders and all the transactions and all the guys going back and forth. I think that the fan base has gotten a good sense of Dan Bylsma and certainly respected the career that he's had. not just here, but everything that led up to it. We get some fun access to him in those post games. I mean, for listeners to this that have never really seen Dan Bylsma talk beyond a soundbite, I guess briefly, how would you guys describe him, describe his personality? Tim, I'll start with you, man.
I think he's the funniest guy in the room, any room he's in, right? He's got such a sense of humor on him, but he's all business. He takes it very seriously. Not that he never has or shouldn't, but I think there's a respect factor there that if you give your all, he's going to give it right back to you. I've seen you open him up quite a bit, Judd, and he's funny. He's a good dude. He's a pro. He knows what he's doing. And I think a lot of the misconception is, well, he's won a Stanley Cup. He's been in the NHL twice now as a head coach. You know, is this a step down? What's he doing here? Well, he's made it clear that I don't think it's lip service either. He enjoys developing these players. He enjoys the AHL maybe as much as the NHL, if not more. I don't think. And I think that's one thing that everybody definitely needs to know about him. This is not a demotion or step down for him to be here. It's the right man for the right job. And I think I've said this in the past. I don't know that they could have hit this higher any better. They nailed it with having him come in here with a first year team and, you know, straightening out the ship and getting these guys their skates underneath them and truly making them into pros. So I think he's A+ and then some if I have to grade coach.
Andrew, briefly, how would you describe Dan Bylsma for those that haven't got to spend more than a minute or two with him or seen him briefly on television?
Well, I would agree with Tim in that Dan is all business and he's very serious. But the great thing the thing I like the most about Dan is he doesn't take himself too seriously. He can, even after a hard loss, he can crack a smile and kind of assess the big picture, which I think is really hard to do when you're kind of down there in the trenches, trying, you know, fighting for every win that's important, especially in the second half of the season now. So Dan is a really I've really enjoyed having him with this team. He doesn't ever think he's too big for any question. He maybe doesn't like every question, but he'll entertain it. And I think one thing that Shad Powers, you know, and I mentioned is that, or Shad mentioned, is that I think Dan really likes explaining the game, explaining the nuances of the game and the details. You know, when Shad asked him the other night about who he picks in the shootouts, why he picks these guys, and Dan actually really seemed to enjoy explaining that to him and explaining the strategy and the parts of the game that probably the ordinary fan or even reporters like us may not fully get, that a coach would get, a player would get. And so I think that's one of the things I've appreciated most about Dan is that he enjoys those things, but he's also really human and understands why we ask those questions, and he's cool about it. So very serious, but doesn't take himself too serious. And I really enjoy that.
I might just briefly interject before a couple of quick hitters to wrap it up. I can't remember if I mentioned on this program or not that we'll sometimes go to the open skate stick and puck at the Burger Ice Complex for the 6:30 starts one day at 6:30 to go skate and kind of putz around. And I've seen him there on a game night. I get, you know, be there at 6:15 and he is already there. That says something about Dan Bylsma. Could be there for an 18-hour day at Acrisure Arena. Again, a couple more quick hitters for you boys before we wrap it up. Short answers, if you don't mind, kind of rapid fire. The 28 games to go includes just two against Tucson and two against Calgary. 13 of those remaining 28 games are against Henderson, San Diego, and San Jose. Those are the bottom three teams in the Pacific. Don't want any kind of playoff prediction per se, but I want to hear where you guys think that we're going to finish in the standings in the pack this season. One word answer if you can. Tim?
First place.
Andrew?
Yeah, I definitely think first place as well.
I'm going to go with you boys. I think we are all in concert. We're going to win this division and get that first round bye this year. Lastly, friends, because Tim is about 10 minutes from Las Vegas, we'll be covering the Super Bowl. He's been very patient. He has not run into a sportsbook or roulette table. He is parked 10 minutes outside of Vegas right now. We got Super Bowl Sunday this weekend.
prediction from you, gents. Don't have to tell me the score. Just want to hear your winner. Tim, will go back to you.
Yeah, look, I think the 49ers are the clear-cut better team by a mile. But I would be a fool, if it comes down to it, to pick Mahomes. I'd be a fool to pick Purdy. So Mahomes over Purdy, the quarterback, the most important position on the field. I'm going Chiefs.
Andrew John?
Well, I'm gonna actually go against Tim on that one. I don't know if it's just because I want the 49ers to win, but I agree with Tim that it is San Francisco is the better team, and although Mahomes is the best player in the NFL, I think that the best team will win this game. So I'm going 49ers. I'll go 28-21.
Okay. 49ers have gotten there by the skin of their teeth, while that Chiefs defense, at least in my humble estimation, continues to get better and continue to dominate. Patrick Mahomes aside, I just think that Chiefs defense is going to take this thing in a landslide. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you a score, but I feel like the Chiefs are going to win by at least two scores. Friends, it's been Tim O'Brien and Andrew L. John joining us on this All-Star Break Media Roundtable episode of the Fire and Ice Podcast, presented by Desert Willow Golf Resort. Boys, so appreciative of your time. Tim, safe travels in Vegas. We'll see you guys soon at Acrisure Arena. Thanks again, fellas.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks.
All right, Firebirds friends. It's going to wrap it up for this February 8, 2024 edition of the Fire and Ice Podcast presented by Desert Willow Golf Resort. So thankful, so appreciative of your time, your interest, your ears, your continued support of this endeavor as our CB Firebirds delve deeper into this sophomore season. Additional appreciation, of course, goes to this episode's guest, Tim O'Brien. You can catch him on NBC Palm Springs, or go say hi to Tim as he's running around and shouting as the in-game arena host at Acrisure Arena. And of course, Andrew L. John, sports reporter for the Desert Sun newspaper. Be sure to follow Andrew's coverage of the Firebirds and other stuff. He writes about other things too. Follow Andrew's work and coverage at DesertSun.com, or heck, just go get a subscription to the Desert Sun newspaper. Quick revisit of the schedule. We'll see you back at Acrisure Arena this Saturday night. That's Saturday, February 10th, at home, 6 p.m. puck drop versus Henderson. And again, as a brief reminder, four more days off for another home game. That is Thursday, February 15th, 7 p.m. start against San Jose. Get a day break and then wrap it around with a Saturday, February 17th, 6 p.m. puck drop against the Colorado Eagles. And then Sunday, February 18th, 5 p.m. start against Henderson. By the way, if you catch that latter game on television, I think yours truly might be making a brief appearance during one of the intermissions. I'll try my best to have a good hair day. Again, thank you everybody so much for tuning in. Might also add in closure that the most recent episode of the Fire and Ice Podcast presented by Desert Willow Golf Resort set a new record for downloads. A lot of Jacob Melanson. You might remember Jacob's appearance on the most recent episode. A lot of Jacob Melanson fans. I want to thank everybody north of the border. A lot of folks in Nova Scotia tuning in for that one. Let's hope we get Jacob back on the ice, by the way, come this Saturday, February 10th. And certainly not a bad thing to be setting some download records here as we hit the home stretch of the season. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. We will see you soon at the Bird Barn of Acrisure Arena. Until then, and always, remember, one valley, one team, rising together.